Morning. Good to see everybody this morning. As Reverend Stanley would usually say, this is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is the house that God has provided for us. And I'll ask you as he does, are you all glad to be a part of the family of God?
Amen.
All right. This is normally the time when the individual filling in for the pastor or guest speaking takes the time to make a joke or sarcastically thank Jimmy Brooks for making them do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to pick on Jimmy because considering how little I've practiced this, by the time I'm all done, he's going to have plenty of pain and regret to deal with on his own. So I'm just going to leave him be. That's obviously not true. I think everybody's going to enjoy today's message, mostly because it's not going to be resting solely on my shoulders, which is a good thing for all of you, but we'll talk more about that in a bit. I want to start off this morning talking about what we usually focus here at Ephesus. We usually think about our individual relationship with God. A great deal goes into covering God's plan for us as individuals, his role, what his role should be in our life as individuals, and what as individuals we can do to further glorify him through our actions, and ultimately how all that will lead into our reward in heaven as individuals. But as we all know, Valentine's Day is 8 days away. Any guys that may have forgotten, you're welcome. But Valentine's Day is a day to celebrate the relationship that you share between you and that special somebody in your life. So today, we're going to discuss ways that God can enrich those relationships if you continue to find new ways to let him in. More specifically, we're going to talk about the relationship that Amanda and I have and the ways that God has impacted our relationship over the years. We're going to cover what we did to let God into our lives as a couple and how we felt God's presence through each chapter of our relationship. So what you'll hear today is more of a testimonial than anything else, but hopefully you will enjoy it. And Amanda and I have found that we tend to get the best results when we tackle projects together. So that's what we're going to do today. I'm going to invite Amanda up here. Amanda's going to be up here helping me deliver the message to everybody this morning. I say helping, but I'm sure most of you have already guessed this is pretty much all her. she's the brains of this operation. So if it's terrible, it's her fault. And Jimmy. Don't forget Jimmy. No, it'll be great. But we'll start off talking about when we met. Amanda and I met when we were both seniors in high school. She was going to Parkview, and I was going to Brunswick. And we met at Governor's School, which is a place where juniors and seniors from the various schools around the area take classes at St. Paul's College in Lawrenceville and Southside Virginia Community College in Alberta. And those that during the first half of the school day. And we both really enjoy Governor's School, and we actually still have teachers to this day from Governor's School that are convinced that Amanda did all my work for me. But I can say here and now that is absolutely not true.
You'd believe that if you saw his grades.
You can ask Chris Smiley next time he's here in church. But no, she never did any of my work. We couldn't agree on a fair price. But we continued to date. We continued to date as we both headed off to James Madison University after graduation. And we can admit now that we missed a little bit of an opportunity in college to grow together more in the Lord because church was never a big part of our college careers. We did, however, always visit church when we were home. Often Amanda would invite me to attend not only church services here at Ephesus, but even Sunday school and vacation Bible school. And one of my earliest experiences with Ephesus, I was taken off guard one Sunday morning when, after finishing his sermon, Reverend Clip asked me to come forward in front of everybody to show the congregation that we were wearing very similar suits. Now, this kind of thing never happened at the Methodist church I went to, so I was a bit terrified. But risking public embarrassment, I continued to visit Ephesus, where our relationship steadily strengthened through our worshiping together. I didn't even realize at the time that I was slowly building the foundation for what would become my church home for years and years.
Aaron and I were married on May 17th, 2003, 1 week after college graduation. We were actually married here at Ephesus by no less than three preachers. We like to joke that we're triple married. Many of you here today, I think, were here and joined us for that celebration of our wedding. The three preachers that were here that were involved in our wedding were Marvin Clipp, who was pastor of Ephesus at the time, Walter Laster, who baptized me and was pastor at Ephesus for most of my time at Ephesus at that time, and Steve Bradley, who was the pastor of Lawrenceville Methodist, where Aaron was a member. These three clergymen were the first time our religious lives literally came together. We chose to celebrate communion during the ceremony, which was a reminder to us that Jesus should always have a very sacred place in our marriage and in our lives. My memories of our wedding day are already beginning to blur after almost 8 years, but I'll never forget the feeling of being surrounded by pure love. It was love for each other, the love of our church family, our families and friends, but also God's love that day was with us. Our wedding set the stage for inviting God's love into our relationship, has been ever since. When many people talk about marriage, they usually reference Ephesians, but for our relationship, the story of best friends David and Jonathan is just as appropriate. In the 20th chapter of Samuel, David and Jonathan met to swear allegiance to each other, even though Saul, Jonathan's father, wanted to kill David. Although I will point out here, it's been a long time since Daddy wanted to kill Aaron, but but if you'll follow along while I read 1 Samuel 20:42. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants.'" Then David left, and Jonathan went back to town. "The Lord is witness between you and me." These words capture how God is manifested in our relationship. He was there from the beginning, witnessed our union, and in many ways is the link between us. Just like David and Jonathan, Aaron and I have a strong bond because God is part of our relationship. In our marriage, we started to pray together and for each other. We began to attend church together and serve God together. Jonathan referenced his and David's descendants. This reference to later generations highlights the strength of David and Jonathan's friendship. Having God in their lives made their relationship so strong that it would last even when they were gone. In the same way, because God has given Aaron and me a strong bond, our own descendants will benefit from living in a healthy and loving home. God's love enriches our lives, enriches the lives not only of the two of us, but also because he is a part of our marriage, our children and their children will benefit. Research shows that children who come from loving, stable homes do better in school and are healthier than children who come from tumultuous homes. God's love gives our home that stability. At the end of chapter 20, David leaves Jonathan and goes back to town. Just like David and Jonathan, when our wedding was over, we went on with life, but with a new covenant between the two of us. Having brought God into our relationship together, we moved on to careers, fun, and eventually starting a family.
After we had been married a few years, we started to see where our faith had really grown, and we realized that eventually there were three of us in the relationship, us two and God. We continued to feel like newlyweds long after returning from the honeymoon, and we credited that to our faith and the peace that having God in our lives had afforded us. As we continued to attend church and grow together in our faith, we looked for new opportunities, new ways to let God into our lives and in our relationship. Amanda and I, along with Robert and Teresa Collins, did a Bible study with Bill Wright. And Bill's leadership through that helped us explore the scripture and develop our faith in God at a new level that we hadn't yet experienced. And we were able to do that together as a couple. We decided to take that momentum from the Bible study even further, one step further. And we went on to read the Bible together during our long commute to Richmond, which I'm sure you all are aware of, that we were making at the time. And in the same way that we felt that having God in our relationship had brought us closer, the opposite was almost true when we were reading the Bible. Being able to read the Bible as a couple brought us closer to God. We were afforded a greater understanding of the Scripture and our faith by being able to break apart the passages with each other and discuss what they meant. And that just added to the experience even more and brought us closer to God. And as crucial as we consider that to be now in our faith, that you know, reading the Bible is so instrumental to our faith now, it might not have been something that we could have done on our own. So that's one instance where being together has really brought us closer to God by being able to do that with each other. We also began to travel a few years into our marriage, and we visited churches in other parts of the world, and we were able to see how other Christian cultures worship God and celebrate His love through art, architecture, music, and it all helped deepen our own faith and brought us understanding of why we choose to worship God the way we do. In Venice, we visited the famous St. Mark's Basilica. This enormous cathedral was built 1,000 years ago, and it contains priceless mosaics and paintings. And we could tell by the other visitors in there, some were awed by the beauty of everything. But as Christians, we could see God's love and the compassion of the faithful in the work of the builders and artists, the craftsmanship of everything. We could really see His love coming through. And all of these experiences and milestones would ultimately lead to the fall of 2008 when I was ordained as a deacon here at Ephesus. And growing up as a young man in the church, it was really hard to know how involved I would be in my faith as I grew older. I saw plenty of couples where the husband or the dad wasn't at church, and I knew that I didn't want that to be the situation, but I never knew how involved I would be. But I don't think I ever expected to take on the responsibilities of being a deacon, not to mention filling in for the pastor when he's not available. That's pretty heavy stuff. But I credit my relationship with Amanda with giving me the confidence to take on these really big responsibilities, because she's always encouraged me whenever I've felt that I might not be up to the challenge. And touched on it a little earlier today, we've got some challenges facing the church right now, and you know, we need to pray about it. Having somebody like Amanda encouraging me when I was facing my own personal challenges really helped me feel confident that I could take them on. But we'd soon find out that if we stuck together and remained united in our faith in God, we could handle some of life's most difficult challenges.
And then came baby Louie. We found out we were expecting Louie at Christmas 2009, Christmas a year ago. For us, this new chapter in our lives began when we started preparing for his arrival. We prayed a lot about the health of the baby and that we would be good parents, and of course we continue to pray for those things today. We actually sat down and listed our values out on paper. It was a great discussion that helped us come to consensus on the things that were important to both of us, not just one of us. If you've never done this exercise before with your loved ones, it's enlightening, and we highly recommend it because it will probably bring you closer. One of the values that Aaron and I share is a personal relationship with God. We agreed to bring Louie up in Ephesus and teach him our Christian faith and values. We'll officially dedicate ourselves to raising Louie as a Christian on Mother's Day. So make sure you don't miss that. The 19th chapter of Matthew tells several stories of Jesus' instructions to his disciples. In this chapter, Jesus tells the story of a rich young man who wants to have eternal life. If you will, read along with me as I read Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 26. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." There are many lessons that can be pulled from this text. What I hear when I read chapter 19 is that you've got to sacrifice to gain something even greater. The parents in this room know exactly what I mean when I say Aaron and I learned quickly that being a parent is about sacrifice. You sacrifice time, money, sleep, and the freedom to do what you want when you want. And just like the rich young man whose reward is greater than anything he will sacrifice, until you're a parent, you don't truly understand the joy a child can bring. However, sadly, this sacrifice for some couples includes their marriage and their relationship with each other. If you want to test the strength of your relationship, have a child. Aaron and I share the job of parenting equally, and I can say that honestly. We really do. We've at times been stressed and exhausted from balancing work and childcare and had to remind ourselves to look out for each other, too. So far, I think we have succeeded. With God at the center of our relationship, our marriage has remained strong through what was a rough couple of months. Let me clarify. We have a happy, healthy baby boy who becomes a better sleeper every day. But we are new parents. We don't sleep enough. We're achy because we don't have time to exercise. We don't get anything done. Writing this message, for example, started yesterday. Yesterday! Because that was really the first chance that we had to work on it. Throughout all this, we've managed to continue to appreciate each other. I look forward to keeping this strength throughout the trials and challenges of raising children. I know it will get more difficult before it'll get easier. Without a doubt, we will need God's love to keep us strong. If you want to see God look at a child, or better yet, have a child, you see the miracle of His design. You also realize how many blessings He's given you. Excuse me. If I could sleep at night, I'd probably
you
do
almost
that.
Got through
I'm
it.
So
you
close. Almost I got know. Becoming parents has brought us even closer, knowing that we really need each other to raise Louis according to God's plan.
So, what we've discussed today is our relationship as a young couple dating, then being married, and eventually parents. But above all, our relationship is a friendship. We're friends, and that friendship has been strengthened through our sharing our faith in God. And that's really the message today. It's mostly a testimonial, but it's that simple message, really. Whether it's praying together, encouraging each other to be more active in church, working together to better understand Scripture, sharing your faith can strengthen not only your relationship with each other, but also your relationship with God. We just hope that this morning our message rings true to you and that you have brought God into your life and your relationships. We hope that you felt God's presence through the gifts that He's presented to you. But if you haven't felt God's presence and you'd like to experience the joy of having Jesus in your life, we invite you to come forward today and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We appreciate you having us this morning and listening to our message. And we will end today with our invitation hymn, which is hymn number 300, Without Him. And we invite everybody to stand if you are able and sing.